strengthen me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. We thank the Lord tonight for his own precious truth and word. And we trust God will bless to us all in the meeting tonight at reading from the word of the Lord. The verse that I want to leave with you tonight here is the verse 13. And this, of course, is one of the apostles' prison letters. And here's the request that he makes here in the verse 13. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Now, we all know tonight here in the meeting that there is an ever ongoing battle for our minds and for the control of our thinking in this world. We've all heard the expression, I'm sure, and it's been around for many years. We've often heard of brain washing, and that is the influence, of course, whether it be of books or of other people, of false teachers. But that's an ever ongoing battle for our minds, brain washing, to win us over, as it were, and for to take control of our thinking. And there's nothing new whatever about that. So it was in the days of the apostles. And we find it everywhere today. Now, not everything. I'm not saying that all news is bad news. I'm not saying for one moment that all books are bad, not by any means. But nevertheless, there's so much there in newspapers, magazines, and on television as well, and radio, that is seeking more and more to get control of our thinking. And for to send us, as it were, just down a certain pathway to rule us and to take control of us. We find that everywhere today, even in adverts and all that sort of thing. And, of course, there are so many views, as we know tonight, that are contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the Scriptures. There's so much teaching. And we hear that coming over and over again in nearly every area of life. People contradicting the word of the Lord. And isn't it interesting here when we think of the Apostle Paul? And humanly speaking, his circumstances were not good at this time. Now in verse 13, he asks here for a cloak. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee. And we know, of course, prisons back in the days of the Roman Empire, not like prisons today. They would have been miserable places, cold, no comfort, no encouragement, whatever. There was no televisions, there was no place for to exercise or anything like that. Very difficult places. And so he requests this cloak. And the other thing here, isn't it very interesting? He says, when thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. Now he wants these books. He wants these parchments. And of course, the parchments here referred to, of course, are the Old Testament books. Books of the Old Testament. And that's what he desires, and that's what he wants at this time. Now, these are among Paul's final words. His time is running out in this world. There he is. The Lord is with him, of course. But isn't it amazing that his desire at this time, he's not looking for comforts, he's not complaining, he's not grumbling. What he desires most of all here are the parchments. These Old Testament books, whether it was all of the Old Testament or not, we don't know. But certainly the Old Testament, and perhaps some of his own epistles also. You see, his rule by the Word of God and his mind, his thoughts, his heart are fixed upon the Word of the Lord. And it reminds us all tonight, as we've sung there in the first hymn here tonight, how precious is the Word of the Lord. But here's the question. How precious is the Word of God to you? And how precious is it to me? Do we value this Word above everything else in the world? I'm sure we all have plenty of good books at home. They may be on history, biographies, or whatever. Useful in their own way and interesting. But here's the book that must have first place in all of our lives and in all of our thinking. That is the Word of the Lord. Now, yes, he's wanting this cloak for to help to keep him warm, but he says the books, he speaks about the books, but especially the parchments, the Holy Scriptures. Oh, may the Lord increase our love for the Word of the Lord. Now, when we think of this one book that we have tonight here in our own possession, oh, how we ought to love it, how we ought to value this Word, a word from heaven, as Luther said, and it is from heaven. And how this Word, how this one book has changed the whole course of history. And we can even isolate, as it were, one book even within the Scriptures, and that is Paul's epistle to the Romans. And what a great influence that epistle had on the great men of God in the past, men like Augustine and Luther, preaching their justification by faith, the Wesleys, George Whitefield, and all these mighty preachers, even this one epistle. And of course, it did change the whole course of history. When we think of Europe, when we just think of the state of Europe back before the days of the Protestant Reformation, the awful darkness, souls in bondage, no hope of the future. We know what it was like. We have read our history, I'm sure, upon it. Thousands, millions of people, paying priests and paying the church, hoping that they would have some hope for eternity. If they go to purgatory, which they believed, of course, they had to do, well, the more they could pay, the quicker they would be released and set free. And then came this man Luther and many others besides that and started to preach the gospel from this book, from the Word of God. And my, what a mighty revival. That's what the Reformation was. It was a great revival. When the eyes of the spiritual understanding and the eyes of millions and millions of people were open, and when they were set free, what brought it about? It wasn't the cleverness of men or their philosophies or their learning. No, it was the Word of the Lord. And here's the Apostle Paul. He says, bring the cloak. He's cold. There in the cell, he wants something to help him to keep him warm. But especially, even something more important than the cloak or the overcoat, something far more important at this time, the parchments, especially the books and the parchments, the Holy Scriptures. Oh, may the Lord increase our love for the Word of God. How precious it is. And when we think of the power of books, they can have a great influence upon us. And many of them, of course, can have an influence upon us in the wrong way. They can, as I said at the outset there, they can seek to change our thinking, to mold us, to win us over, brainwash us. And there's a lot of books like that about today. Not only, as I say, in the books, but even on the television and the papers and everything else. If we turn there for a moment, and we have an example of it there in the book of Acts. there in the book of Acts and in the chapter 19, Acts chapter 19. And we read here, of course, Corinth, there was a great outpouring of the Spirit of God, or at Ephesus, rather. And we read in Acts chapter 19 and in the verse 18. And many that believed, that's Acts 19 and the verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Not wonderful. These people were converted. Now, they had all of these books, and as we would say today, they were seeking to get help from these books, these spiritual powers, what we call today the occult. The occult. And these books had an awful influence upon their minds, and teaching them and leading them in a certain direction. But they were evil. They were evil. They were devilish. And you know today, brethren, the occult is something that is really on the increase in our land. There's all sorts going on behind the scenes. Groups of people meet, and it's absolutely amazing. The occult is something that is real. Devil worship, curious arts, and all of that. But these people, when they were converted, these were evil books. They took them, they brought them together like in a big bonfire and set fire to the whole lot. That's what they did. And the word of God might grew and was mighty in those days. And there was a great revival. Don't we read there in Paul's epistle there to the Ephesians in the chapter 6 and in the verse 11? Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're to take on the whole armour of God. Make no mistake about it. There's, as I say, a multitude of things in this world of ours tonight, the media and other philosophy and teachings that we're hearing, what people are saying, denying the word. And don't we see that? The awful effect it's having, even on our children in schools and young people. And this is real. But praise God for the power of the word of God, the word of the Lord. And of course, God's word must, as I say, have the first place in our hearts and in our lives. And we're to combine reading, of course, reading the word with meditation. How important it is to meditate upon the word of the Lord. I always emphasize, you know, especially to young Christians, but it applies to us all. It's not really about the quantity that everybody is different, aren't they? There are some people can sit down and they could read chapter after chapter after chapter. But not everybody, not all of us have that capacity. But it's not the amount or the quantity that we read. It's to read and to meditate. Brethren, if we don't stop and meditate upon what we read, we lose out. We have to meditate upon it. Look at what the psalmist says. This is right throughout Scripture, of course. We find this coming over time and time again. And look there, for example, just in the Psalm 1 and in the verse 2. Here it's referring to the godly man. Psalm 1 and the verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. Now that's the thing. You might be only, well, capable of reading so many verses, whatever it might be. But the thing is just for to stop and to think what I have read, and just to think upon that word and to feed upon it. Now, to meditate is to feed. That's what it really is. It's to get nourishment out of it. You know the old story, you've heard it before, I'm sure, and especially people brought up in the country. You know, you look out upon the cows, and they're chewing the cud. They've eaten the grass. They're full. Now what are they doing? They're chewing the cud. They're getting the nourishment. They're bringing up and they're getting the nourishment out of what they have eaten. And that's what we need to do as well, don't we? We need to draw out the nourishment. We need to ask ourselves the question, Lord, what's your word to me? What is the Lord saying to me from this passage of Scripture? What is the lesson to be learned? What are the things I must avoid? What are the things I must do and obey the Lord? To meditate. Oh, how vital that is. We could read chapter after chapter after chapter and then close the Bible and really profit very little from it. But oh, when we stop to think and ask the Lord to make this word live to me, to live in my mind and to live in my heart, what a difference that makes. Meditate upon his word continually. That's where the nourishment comes from. And of course we need, don't we as well, we need to read the word regularly, every day as well. Not just every now and again. You see the Apostle Paul here in his latter days, these are among his last words. Now he's not saying to himself, well, and this was a mighty man, a brilliant man, inspired by God, one of the greatest men of all history, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul's attitude is not, well, I have written my epistles, I know the Word, I know the Old Testament, and I just don't need it anymore. I'm all right. I've only maybe a few months left for to live, and I don't need these parchments. No, that's not his attitude at all. There he is in his latter days. Time is running out. He says, bring the cloak. Ah, but he says, especially bring the word. Bring the word of God to me. Oh, we need to read it more and more. I suppose there's a temptation with us all, isn't there? There's a temptation as we get older, perhaps we read less. That's a temptation. And how we need to guard against it. John Wesley, that mighty man of God, John Wesley in his latter days, he says, as he got older, he says, I have become a man of one book. That's what Wesley said. A man of one book. It was the same with George Mueller as well, of Bristol, that man of faith, that mighty warrior of God. They became men of one book. But of course, when we turn to the word as well, isn't it wonderful? It means fellowship. Fellowship. And don't we all love fellowship? We love fellowship one with the other, to talk to one another. Before the meeting, after the meeting, or whenever we meet, we love fellowship together. We love fellowship with the family and with our grandchildren and all of that. And you see, we have to remember, brethren, don't we, that when we open the Word of God and we come to the Word, we're speaking to God and God is speaking to us. There's fellowship. And that's a wonderful thing. The Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, is speaking to us. And we can speak to Him because we have His Word. It is fellowship. And we have that great verse there in 1 John chapter 1. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now that's the greatest privilege in the whole world. That you and I, however weak we might feel, how we fail at times, how we can sin and fall back and grow cold. But let us not forget this. This is the greatest privilege we have. If we had an invite from some important person for to go see them, might we think it wonderful and we would prepare for it. And we'd look forward to it. But here's something we can look forward to every day. Our fellowship with the Lord. This is where we get our true understanding. Now, Let me emphasize it again. There is a battle for our minds today. And it's increasing all the time. And it is real. And there's a devil at work. It's to control our understanding. It's to get us off of that straight and narrow way, off onto to bypass meadows, off on different roads. That's what's going on today in the world. It's there in the media. It's there in the newspapers. I'm not saying that all the news is ridiculous or bad. I'm not saying that for one minute. I'm not saying that about books either. But it's there, and it's very strong, and it's very real. That's why we need to keep in the Word of God. You see, the Word, as I say, it's here we get true understanding. If we're saying to ourselves, well, there's a lot of things I don't understand. A lot of things I can't get my head around. Where do we go? Well, we come to the Word. We come to the Word. It's there we get good, what we call good sense, God's sense, and understanding of what life is, why we're here, how to live. It's all there. And the Apostle Paul, here when he sends the request, yes, bring the cloak, but especially, he said, bring the parchments. May the Lord help us to love this Word and to value it more and more than any possession that we have in this world or in this life. May the Lord help prayer. And just a couple of things I want to mention here tonight. Do remember Mrs. Somerville, and as you know, she's been in hospital there, but she got home this evening and she's back home, and she will be more or less, as far as I know, depending upon some neighbours and friends now to help her over the next few days. Do remember her in prayer. I'll be in touch with her again, and she thanks everyone too for your thoughts of her and your prayers as well. Do remember the Reverend Porter on holiday at this time, and do remember the Lord's servant and his family, that he will be blessed, refreshed, and have a good rest, and look forward to having him back again here in the pulpit. Remember our brother Colin Maxwell as well, as Colin continues his outreach work there in Dublin. He's been to Knock, and he has other plans, of course, as well in the days ahead for his outreach. Do remember Colin as well. And our sister Gillian Gillespie, also the children's work, and especially coming to the after the holiday time, the work will be back up and going again. Do remember our sister in prayer. The convention also in August. Do remember our brother Richard here in the congregation here on the Lord's Day as he brings the Word. Now let us look to the Lord in prayer. I've only mentioned a few things there. There's other people in need of our prayers as well at this time that are not too well. And let's look to the Lord. Let as many as possible now pray tonight. We don't have to pray long prayers, but I'm not going to put a limit on anybody. As the Lord leads tonight. But even thank the Lord for saving you tonight. Thank the Lord that you're saved. Maybe a short prayer. Don't be afraid to pray it. And let's remember the work of the Lord here in Bethel and this county of Fermanagh and all around this area. And as the Lord would lead tonight, and let us pray that the Lord will increase a love for his Word in the hearts of many. Now let as many as possible, one after the other, take part in prayer, and let us look up to the Lord.